ॐ जनसुमिलन्दस्य जनार्दनावसुलकया तत्सु सुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टां स्तुतितां नीलभूतले सायां रूपगदामायां ददति सापनन्तिकम् श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भगवतां की जय वंश कपटुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धु वैश्च प्रीतिरं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Yesterday we completed chapter 18 and heard in that chapter, which is the next to last chapter in the sixth canto, the incredible effects of devotional service, the incredible effect of Ditti's performance of the Pumsa Savana process, ritual. She became purified in consciousness because that ritual that she performed, that ceremony, that vrata, was devotional service. It was meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And even though her consciousness was not on pleasing the Lord, the effect that was that her consciousness became purified. And she lost the inimical feeling she had towards Indra. Then, Indra was serving Ditti, who was performing the sacrifice with her own motive, and yet, he became purified as well. And also, the result of the sacrifice, or the ritual, which was the Marats, they became effulgent. There were 49 of them instead of one of them, and they were exalted as demigods, even though they were born of Ditti, which made them Asuras or Daityas. So in every way, devotional service is so wonderful, so purifying, so powerful, because Krishna reciprocates. He sees the good, and he reciprocates with that good despite the ocean of fault that may coexist with the good, with the drop of good. So, kamvadayalum sharanam brajema. How wonderful is Krishna, and who could be more worthy of serving? Because he's a person, and such a great-hearted person sees the good. There's a famous story from the Mahabharata of how Duryodhana and Yudhisthira were sent out with different missions. Duryodhana was asked to find someone better than him, and Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked to find someone worse than him. And they both came back with different results, or in one sense, the same result. Duryodhana saying, I could not find anyone who was better than me, and Yudhisthira finding no one that was worse than him. So everything depends upon the consciousness. What we see depends upon our consciousness. So Krishna has the most wonderful consciousness, the most exalted consciousness, the most merciful heart. So therefore, he sees the good. and reciprocates with the good of the service. And if we take a step towards Krishna in devotional service, then he will take so many steps towards us. So after hearing of the glories and the wonderful results that came from this performance of Vaishnava activities, Bhagavad Dharma, activity meant to please the Lord, this Pumsavana ritual, then naturally, in the first verse of the final chapter in Canto 6, chapter 19, Maharaja Prakrit asked, "My dear Lord," speaking to Sukadeva Goswami, "you have already spoken about the Pumsavana vow. Now I want to hear about it in detail." He wanted to hear what the nature of that vow was. "For I understand that by observing this vow, one can please the Supreme Lord Vishnu." Sukadeva Goswami said, "On the first day of the bright fortnight of the month of Agrahayana, November, December, following the instructions of her husband, a woman should begin this regulative devotional service with a vow of penance, for it can fulfill all one's desires. Before beginning the worship of Lord Vishnu," and that's practically speaking the essential component of this vow, that it is meant for the pleasure of Vishnu, Before beginning, the woman should hear the story of how the Marats were born. Under the instructions of qualified brahmanas, in the morning she should wash her teeth, bathe, and dress herself with white cloth and ornaments. And before taking breakfast, she should worship Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi." So one may perform activities or austerities for the Lord's pleasure. But what is it actually, what is the component in that activity that actually pleases the Lord? Text 4. The woman should then pray to the Lord as follows. "My dear Lord, you are full in all opulences." So he's full in all opulences. He has everything. What can we do to please him? "But I do not beg you for opulence. I simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are the husband and master of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, who has all opulences. Therefore you are the master of all mystic yoga. I simply offer my obeisances unto you." Prabhupada's purport. A devotee knows how to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Purnam Mada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Therefore, to take shelter of the Supreme Lord is required. Whatever a devotee needs will be supplied by the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tesham nitya bhayuktanam yoga shemam vahamyaham. Therefore, a pure devotee will not ask anything from the Lord. He simply offers the Lord his respectful obeisances. And the Lord is prepared to accept whatever the devotee can secure to worship him, even patram pushpam phalam toyam, a leaf, a flower, water, or fruit. There is no need to artificially exert oneself. It is better to be plain and simple, and with respectful obeisances, offered to the Lord whatever one can secure. The Lord is completely able to bless the devotee with all opulences. So in the famous verse in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam, just offer me patram, one leaf, pushpam, singular, one flower, phalam, fruit, one. Toyam, some water. Yomam bhaktya, with bhakti though. So if one does that, makes his offerings to Krishna, even if it is the simplest of offerings, asnami, Krishna says, I will accept it. Bhaktyuparitam, asnami, when one offers me something with devotion, I will accept it. And that is the great fortune of the devotee. Text 5. O my Lord, this is what the prayer is of the beginning of the Pumsavana ritual. O my Lord, because you are endowed with causeless mercy, all opulence, all prowess and all glories, strength and transcendental qualities, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of everyone. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the words Tatosi Bhagavan Prabhu mean, therefore, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all six opulences in full, and moreover, he is extremely kind to his devotee. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless wants all the living entities to surrender unto him so that they may engage in his service. Thus he becomes satisfied. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased when the devotee offers him patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit or water, in devotion. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yasoda, requests his devotees for some food as if he were very hungry. Sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and his garden are now very old and that he cannot enjoy them very nicely. Thus he requests the devotee to repair them. Sometimes he is buried in the earth and, as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. Even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all possessions and is self-sufficient, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for particular work. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 11:33, where the Lord tells Arjuna, Namitta matram bhavasavya sachin. O Arjuna, merely be an instrument in the fight. Lord Krishna had the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra. But nonetheless, he induced his devotee Arjuna to fight and become the cause of victory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite competent enough to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still he depended upon his devotee to do this work. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of the Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that he depends on his devotee. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of the Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that he depends on his devotees. This is called his causeless mercy. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the master and the servant. Text 6. After profusely offering obeisances unto Lord Vishnu, the devotee should offer respectful obeisances unto Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and pray as follows. O wife of Lord Vishnu, O internal energy of Lord Vishnu, you are as good as Lord Vishnu himself, for you have all of his qualities and opulences. O goddess of fortune, please be kind to me. O Mother of the entire world, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Prabhupada's purport is pointed. One cannot keep Lakshmi, just from that, towards the end. One cannot keep Lakshmi. Lakshmi is fortune, or wealth, or opulence. One cannot keep Lakshmi in one's home without Lord Vishnu. To think that one can do so is very dangerous, because Lakshmi is meant to serve the Lord. To keep Lakshmi or the riches of the Lord without the service of the Lord is always dangerous, for then Lakshmi becomes the illusory energy. With Lord Vishnu, however, Lakshmi is the spiritual energy. Such a wonderful point. Text 7. My Lord Vishnu, full in opulences, you are the best of all enjoyers and the most powerful. O husband of Mother Lakshmi, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are accompanied by many associates, such as Vishvakshena. I offer all the paraphernalia for worshipping you. One should chant this mantra every day with great attention while worshipping Lord Vishnu with all paraphernalia, such as water for washing his feet, hands and mouth, and water for his bath. One must offer him various presentations for his worship, such as garments of sacred thread, ornaments, scents, flowers, incense, and lamps. Prabhupada's purport. This mantra is very important. Anyone engaged in deity worship to chant this mantra as quoted above, beginning with Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya. I'll read that part again. O my Lord Vishnu, full in six opulences, you are the best of all enjoyers and the most powerful. O husband of Mother Lakshmi, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are accompanied by many associates, such as Vishvakshena. I offer all the paraphernalia for worshipping you. I offer everything for your pleasure. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after worshipping the Lord with all the paraphernalia mentioned above, one should chant the following mantra while offering 12 oblations of ghee on the sacred fire. The mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Svaha. So this is the Pumsavana ritual. If one desires all opulences, his duty is to daily worship Lord Vishnu with his wife Lakshmi. With great devotion, one should worship him according to the above-mentioned process. Lord Vishnu and the goddess of fortune are an immensely powerful combination. They are the bestowers of all benedictions and the sources of all good fortune. Therefore, the duty of everyone is to worship Lakshmi Narayan. One should offer obeisances unto the Lord with a mind humbled through devotion. While offering dandavats by falling on the ground like a rod, one should chant the above mantra 10 times. Then one should chant the following prayer. Here's the prayer. My Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, Goddess of Fortune, you are the proprietors of the entire creation. Indeed, you are the cause of the creation. Mother Lakshmi is extremely difficult to understand because she is so powerful that the jurisdiction of her power is difficult to overcome. Mother Lakshmi is represented in the material world as the external energy, but actually she is always the internal energy of the Lord. My Lord, you are the master of energy, and therefore you are the Supreme Person. You are sacrifice, jagya, personified. Lakshmi, the embodiment of spiritual activities, is the original form of worship offered to you, whereas you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Mother Lakshmi, who is here, is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities, whereas you manifest and enjoy all these qualities. Indeed, you are actually the enjoyer of everything. You live as the supersoul of all living entities, and the goddess of fortune is the form of their bodies, senses, and minds. She also has a holy name and form, whereas you are the support of all such names and forms and the cause for their manifestation. So the Lord, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, and ultimately Krishna, Stu Bhagavan Sayam, ultimately Lord Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. And Lakshmi Devi, ultimately Srimati Radharani, is the person and energy, the personified energy for his worship and for his pleasure. And Lakshmi Devi, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, it's quite a long purport, explaining the commentary of Baladeva Vidyabhusan, explaining how Lakshmi Devi is not a jiva soul, but she's actually a shakti, or the energy of the Lord, identical with Vishnu Tattva. Next verse. Continuing with the prayer. You are both the supreme rulers and benedictors of the three worlds. Therefore, my Lord, Uttama Sloka, may my ambitions be fulfilled by your grace. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus one should worship Lord Vishnu, who is known as Srinivas, along with Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, by offering prayers according to the process mentioned above. After removing all the paraphernalia of worship, one should offer them water to wash their hands and mouths, and then one should worship them again. Thereafter, with devotion and humility, one should offer prayers to the Lord and Mother Lakshmi. Then one should smell the remnants of the food offered and then worship the Lord. Then again worship the Lord and Lakshmiji. Accepting her husband as the representative of the Supreme Person, a wife should worship him with unalloyed devotion by offering him prasad. The husband, being very pleased with his wife, should engage himself in the affairs of his family. Between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute this devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the results. Prabhupada's short purport. The relationship between husband and wife is firmly established when the wife is faithful and the husband sincere. Then even if the wife, being weaker, is unable to execute devotional service with her husband, if she is chaste and sincere, she shares half of her husband's activities. Next verse. Text 20. One should accept this Vishnu Vrata, which is a vow in devotional service, and should not deviate from its execution to engage in anything else. By offering the remnants of prasad, flower garland, sandalwood pulp, and ornaments, one should daily worship the brahmanas and worship women who peacefully live with their husbands and children. Every day the wife must continue following the regulative principles to worship Lord Vishnu with great devotion. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu should be laid in his bed, and then one should take prasad. In this way, husband and wife will be purified and will have all their desires fulfilled. The chaste wife must perform such devotional service continuously for 1 year. So this concept of having one's husband, the husband and wife, having their desires fulfilled is what? It's the idea that they and their pleasure is not the center of their relationship. The center of the relationship is the pleasure of Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi Devi. For Krishna's pleasure, Lakshmi Devi is there. And all living entities are servants in that line of trying to give Krishna pleasure. So even marriage can be very fruitful and peaceful and happy and spiritual if Krishna's pleasure is squarely in the center. Then everyone acts simply in that way, and that is the way to have a peaceful family life. So all these different processes and rituals and activities are meant to establish the householder in that consciousness, far different from materialistic consciousness where everyone is fighting to be the center. Rather, when everyone is thinking, how can I please Krishna, then the center is naturally the center. Naturally and actually the center. So in this way, husband and wife will be purified and will have all their desires fulfilled. The chaste wife must perform such devotional service continuously for 1 year. After 1 year passes, one should fast on the full moon day in the month of Kartik, October, November. On the morning of the next day, this is to end the vrata, to end the vow, end the ritual. For 1 year it goes on, and then it's ended on the Kartik Purnima, the full moon. On the morning of the next day, one should wash oneself, and after worshipping Lord Krishna as before, Krishnam Abhyarcha Purvavat, one should cook as one cooks for festivals, as stated in the Griha Sutras. Sweet rice should be cooked with ghee, and with this preparation, the husband should offer oblations to the fire 12 times. Thereafter, he should satisfy the Brahmins. When the satisfied Brahmins bestow their blessings, he should devoutly offer them respectful obeisances with his head, and with their permission, he should take prasad. Before taking his meal, the husband must first seat the acharya comfortably, and along with his relatives and friends, should control his speech and offer prasad to the guru. Then the wife should eat the remnants of the oblations of sweet rice cooked with ghee. Eating the remnants ensures a learned, devoted son and all good fortune. If this vow or ritualistic ceremony is observed according to the description of Shastra, even in this life a man will be able to achieve all the benedictions he desires from the Lord. A wife who performs this ritualistic ceremony will surely receive good fortune, opulence, sons, a long-living husband, a good reputation, and a good home. If an unmarried girl observes this vrata, she will be able to get a very good husband. If a woman who is avira, who has no husband or son, executes this ritualistic ceremony, she can be promoted to the spiritual world. A woman whose children have died after birth can get a child with a long duration of life and also become very fortunate in possessing wealth. If a woman is unfortunate, she will become fortunate. And if ugly, she will become beautiful. By observing this vrata, a diseased man can gain relief from his disease and have an able body with which to work. If one recites this narration while offering oblations to the pittas and demigods, especially during the Shraddha ceremony, the demigods and inhabitants of Pitraloka will be extremely pleased with him and bestow upon him the fulfillment of all his desires, of all desires. After one performs this ritualistic ceremony, Lord Vishnu and his wife, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, are very pleased with him. O King Parikit, now I have completely described how Diti performed this ceremony and had good children, the Maruts, and a happy life. I have tried to explain this to you as elaborately as possible. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Performing the Pumsavana Ritualistic Ceremony. And this is the end of the 6th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I would like to read. I can't remember when we started the first canto in this, but it was quite a few years ago. Who was there at that ceremony in our house on Drummond Street? Oh, so many devotees. What year was that?
1997.
So, what month? September? Yeah. So, huh? It was October. So almost 4 years to get to the 6th canto. And I remember when part of the ceremony, and it was a very sweet ceremony. We read something, and I would like to read that again. First, today is also the appearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami, this appearance day. So it's very auspicious that we read something about Sanatana Goswami. And here are some verses that Sanatana Goswami wrote in describing Srimad Bhagavatam and glorifying it from his Krishna Lila Stava. Sava Shastra Dipiyusha Sava Vedaika Satfala Sava Siddhanta Ratnadya Sava Lokaika Drikprada Sava Bhagavata Prana Sava Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvanto Ditaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned amongst us. Paramananda Pattaya Prema Varsha Aksharayate Savara Sava Sevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostute Stume. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Marika bandhu mat sangin, mat guru man mahadana, man nishtaraka mat bhagya, marananda namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Asadu sadu tadayin ati nicho chataraka hana muncha kadachin mam premna rit kantayo spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Shri Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. And finally, I would like to, not finally, but I'd like to also read something we read on that day. I think we read this. This book and this little book on studying Srimad Bhagavatam we published in 1988, and this was the preface. It's almost all quotations from Srila Prabhupada on the importance of reading Shastra, his books. The following excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's letters stress the importance of scrutinizingly studying his books. I am very much stressing at this point that all of my students shall be very much conversant with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and they should read our books very diligently, at least 1 or 2 hours daily, and try to understand the subject matter from varieties of angles. June 1972. So if you study my books very carefully, then I am sure you will find out the means for applying this Krishna conscious philosophy in all spheres of life. There is no limitation. January 1973. We should rather turn our interest to learn from the books more and more. We should inquire about Krishna. Temple life is going on with little change, but we should become habituated to read the books more profoundly. July 1973. I recommend you to read books more and more and try to understand the subject matter from different angles of vision and be always discussing it with your God brothers.
June 1972. You should always be alert in understanding the Shastra conclusions. That will help you. Otherwise, we can be misled by bogus philosophies. I am very pleased that you are studying the books. This will make you happy and successful. September 1976. And you must all study very scrutinizingly all of the books so that when the need arises, you can repeat in your own words their purport. July 1975. The instruction given in my books is supposed to be personal instruction. When we read Bhagavad Gita as it is understood that we're receiving personal instruction of Krishna. No physical barrier is there in the case of spiritual affairs. That was October 1973. In my books, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is explained fully. So if there's anything you don't understand, then you simply have to read again and again. By reading daily, the knowledge will be revealed to you. You may please me the most by reading my books and following the instructions therein. It was November 1974. We are awed by the austerity Srila Prabhupada performed in order to write. He, although elderly and venerable, slept less than 4 hours each day. He continuously traveled and preached and met devotees and managed and advised. Yet, despite all inconveniences, Prabhupada continued writing. Now, more than 10 years after Srila Prabhupada has physically left us, and that was 10 years ago, that was 11 years ago in 1988, and now how many years is it? 24, coming up to 24 this November. So he continuously traveled, yet despite all his inconveniences, Prabhupada continued writing. Now more than 23 years after Srila Prabhupada physically has left us, his stress on both writing and distributing transcendental literature has become urgently clear. He once asked, "Why are we so interested in book distribution?" He himself then answered, I was there one time in Melbourne. He himself then answered, "Because it is distribution of knowledge." And he repeated the same phrase again, "Because it is distribution of knowledge." Through his books, Prabhupada is the eternal Shiksha Guru of the Krishna consciousness movement. Through his books, everyone can hear from Prabhupada without restriction and reap the benefits of associating with the topmost Paramhamsa and most confidential servant of Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada implored in his letter of June 13, 1972, "So I am requesting all of my students to read my books seriously every day without fail. In this way, if your mind becomes absorbed at least 1 or 2 hours daily in the transcendental subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, then very easily you will make advancement in Krishna consciousness." So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for kindly attending. And today is also the what is called Guru Purnima, which is the appearance day of Lord of Srila Vyasadeva. And Srila Vyasadeva's great contribution is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So on this very auspicious day, we have completed the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. And if Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and all and Gaunatai and Gopinath and Giriraj and all the Vaishnavas very kindly bless us. Next Wednesday we will start Canto 7. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So, did you say there was something else in the kitchen, or is it already here? And maybe we can. And oh, there's one other thing too. And this auspicious day, we have made a presentation to the temple.
Yeah.
And we asked Chris to unveil it. I think you'll be able to figure it out. You got it up there.
Is it pinned on the top?
It's pinned.
Oh.
Yeah.
And also the
distributor anyway, it's much more close.
And how about the corners are still on it, I noticed. Is that my imagination or?
It looks like the corners are on today.
And thank you so much for attending the classes. Despite all the... Did that hit you in the head? It could be worse. Why don't you take the corners off? That's the official.
Well, I didn't look at it, so
Die.
They just rip off.
They rip off.
I think, Dale, you're going to have to get the top ones. Wow. Who did that? Who made that? Incredible. Wow. Ooh, the wonderful picture of Prabhupada, too. Ooh, how nice. How wonderful. And kind, too.
Very
impressive.
Need some more space to put things on.
Yeah.
If you hold that up, I'll move it out.
Should I have a little kirtan now?
Yeah, I think so.